fighting for America.
Whether liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, white, black, brown, rich, poor, when it comes to our troops, we stand united. We are proud of you. We support you. And we can never thank you enough.
Fighting for Idaho.
Most of the freshmen that I've met are, yes, they're conservative members of Congress, but not the extreme conservative. Man, I can live with that because that's where I feel like I'm coming from.
Fighting for you.
I don't think marijuana should be treated any different than beer. I mean, you could outlaw obesity.
Hey.
Boise's Mr. Right.
A little too close to home, buddy.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Living the dream each and every day. Blessed to be a part of your morning. Thank you all for joining us. Kay Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Joining us now, our great friend Dave Bigo, President and CEO of Executive Management Services. Author of The Devil at My Doorstep, Protecting Employee Rights, The Devil at Our Doorstep, Exposing the Real Agenda of Big Labor, The Taking of American Freedoms, joining us from Naptown, USA, Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
It's a big city y'all got there.
It is, and it feels like Naptown this morning. It's cold and cloudy here, and I think we all want to take a nap.
Let's talk about the state of American business today. Have we lost our competitive edge?
I think there's no doubt that we have. And, we own several businesses. Our biggest business is a commercial cleaning company that I started here in Indianapolis in 1989. But we're also in manufacturing supplies and chemicals and stuff like that. And, we just, with this administration and where they're headed and taking us, we just aren't as competitive as we used to be.
Well, we take a look at labor. You know, you take a look at the part of the country you're from, pretty much there, Michigan, Ohio, the home really of the labor movement, sticking up for the common man. Does labor stick up for the common man anymore?
No, Kevin, they do not at all. And that's what, and I talk about that in my books. Because the SEIU tried to force unionize my employees across the Midwest. They tried to do all the major cleaning companies, which we're one of, and they wanted us to sign a neutrality agreement, which would take away the secret ballot election and go to card check, and we were the only major company that told them no, that that's un-American, we're not going to do that. And we beat them. It took a four-year battle, but we won. And, we went out and talked to our people and, was honest with them what was going on. And our people got it. And the problem is that as I've gone through this battle, and we've also battled the United Auto Workers, too, by the way, what we found out is that they don't care about the employees at all, the membership in their unions. It's all about the membership dues for their own pockets and for their political agenda, which doesn't serve the American way in American jobs and American business.
Well, you've become quite the expert when it comes to dealing with organized labor. One of the things that has amazed me is labor's pass on the immigration issue. In fact, I believe they've become pro-amnesty. When you think about it's going to cost American jobs and such, never mind the Republicans and the Democrats, but organized labor, this could really revitalize the American labor movement, but they've decided to drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, they have, and a lot of people don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. And this president, who will run over anybody, friend or foe, to achieve his agenda and do the things he wants to do, he's behind the scenes. He's working with his radical people in the National Labor Relations Board to basically pass card check through regulation versus, legislation. And they took a big step on Friday. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the NLRB passed a ruling on ambush elections. You know, normal elections are 41 to 42 days once they've applied for the election or petitioned for it. This new law brings it down to 21 days or less. And a lot of people are looking at the way it's worded that it could be within 10 days. And that means basically no employer would have a chance to get in front of its people and to battle the election. And they could do this overnight and force unionized people across the country. It's almost like a card check deal. And that's what the ultimate goal is.
So it's a backdoor to card check.
Yeah. And it's really a scary thing because, plus, to facilitate this, the NLRB also passed a law that the union and employees can use the employer's internet services and email to, you know, talk to the employees and send information to them and even badmouth companies.
On their own system.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, Kevin, it's crazy where this is going, and America needs to wake up quickly because, and I think we're going to see some more rulings before the end of the year that get us closer to, as a good term, backdoor card check. And so this is what he's doing for them. So they're, in turn, buying into the amnesty thing. Plus, what he's doing, if you think about it, he's saying these people can go get jobs. They become legal employees instead of independent contractors or being paid under the table. So eventually the union can organize these people.
Yeah, it's amazing. What's it like for you, sir, today? What's it like for you, Dave, to own and run a business? And would you do it all over again, considering the way the rules have been changed?
Oh, I would, because I'm that type of person, and you know, I'm a battler, and it's really frustrating because, you know, you're fighting both ends of the stick, so to speak. You know, on the one end we fought the unions at, you know, high labor cost and low productivity and all the stuff that goes with that, and on the other end now we're fighting low cost and high productivity because we have competitors out there that are hiring these people, undocumented workers, paying them what we call piecework under the table, so they're not paying payroll taxes, there's no benefits, and they expect these people to work, you know, whether it takes them 40 hours or 80 hours to get the work done, they expect them to get it done. And they come in and they underbid people like us by, you know, 20-30%.
Yeah, you see, that's what a lot of folks perhaps out here in the West don't understand, but you see it in the Midwest now and certainly in the South, whether it's what you all are doing as far as cleaning, what people are doing as far as the labor movement, as far as building houses. You have people coming in undercutting because they don't pay the benefits, they don't pay anything else, and they're literally driving American business out of business.
Well, they are, and they're destroying wages for the American worker, and they're eliminating jobs for the American worker. I've got a friend that's in the construction industry. He does commercial buildings and that, but he's banging his head against the wall because of the same thing. He's got competitors that are using these undocumented people, and like I say, paying them piecework, and you know, you can't compete when you're a legitimate company doing things the right way.
So what type of world are we leaving the next generation?
Well, it's scary, Kevin. I mean, we got to get this thing turned around. And, you know, with this election, it's great that we have, you know, the Senate back. But we need some leaders in Washington that are willing to take a stand and go on the offensive and go after this president and this administration and start turning this country around. And, you know, I'm constantly in front of people talking to them about that because one thing I learned in fighting the SEIU was that you can't play defense with these people. You got to go on the offense and you got to put them on defense, kind of like sports. You know, the best defense is a great offense. And once we started doing that with the SEIU, we started turning things around, and we found out that they really didn't want to face us publicly. They didn't want to debate us or anything like that. And I think if the Republicans did the same thing, they would start to have the upper hand in where this country's going, and in the polls, too, because a lot of people, even Hispanic people and black people, want to see these things happen.
Right. Dave Bigo with us as we continue on talking about his company, Executive Management Services. By the way, again, his book, The Devil at My Doorstep, Protecting Employee Rights, and The Devil at Our Doorstep, Exposing the Real Agenda of Big Labor, The Taking of American Freedoms. What was it like for you, though, to start a company? You had two small accounts in Indianapolis. To grow it to a national company, you've got 5,000 employees, 3,000 facilities that you work on in 36 states from coast to coast. You're living the American dream.
Well, I am, and that's the great thing about America is that, you know, through hard work and perseverance and insight that you can do something special. And I'll be honest with you, I never thought we'd be as big as we are. But we did things the right way, and, you know, we continue, and we're one of the most highly certified companies in the industry, in the country. And, you know, that's held us in good stead, and I think it's a perfect example for other people to follow. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying America provides you this opportunity. But then you have people like the labor bosses and this administration, who I talk about in my book, by the way, because the SEIU President Andy Stern was very, very good buddies with the current President Obama. And, you know, they both came after us. And, you know, it's sad when you have your government and labor bosses that are trying to destroy the American dream. Thank God our republic and the laws of it were good enough that we were able to use them to win the battle.
Indeed. For people that are thinking about the future of their kids and their grandkids, we touched on this a moment ago at 580KIDO. What do you say? What is really at stake here? And this is from someone, Dave, you could just sit back and enjoy your run and not get in this fight, but you're fighting for the future.
Well, I am, because I'm concerned about America. I love America. And, you know, I love our Christian values, and we need to bring that back. And I'm concerned about my kids and grandkids. And we're a family business. My daughter and my two sons work in the business, and we have a lot of other family members. And we want to see them have the same opportunity in the future that I had as I grew up and started this business.
Who do you consider our friends in Congress?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I take a step back from Congress, and I know several people from Indiana that, in fact, I had a meeting with a congressman last week, and I'm working with them. But some of the governors is the ones we really need to look at, and I don't know how familiar you are with Governor Walker out of Wisconsin, but I'll tell you what, he is a good man. I've met him. I've spoke to him about these things. I've heard him speak, and Kevin, he does things that I think politicians need to do. He doesn't just get up and say things from a piece of paper. He goes out in people's neighborhoods, and he talks to them, you know, whether they're black, white, Hispanic. He goes into different religious areas, you know, churches. He even went into the union neighborhoods. And these people look at him and say, you know, this guy makes sense. We like him. And we need more politicians who will do that kind of stuff, because that's one of the things I did fighting the SEIU. I went to all of the buildings that were under attack and sat down with my employees at night and told them, you know, I want to talk to you about the reality of what's going on here. And these people are smart people. And when you talk to them, they go, yeah, we get it. And that was another way we beat the SEIU.
Well, Dave, we appreciate it. If people want to get a hold of you or get your book, what can they do?
They can go to my website, thedevilatourdoorstep.com, and read my blogs, get my book, and there's also an email address in there where they can contact me.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for the great things you do out there, and because we need to preserve America.
See you, Dave.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Don't forget, you can always check us out on Facebook and 580KIDO.com. All right, we go to our friend, businesswoman, political insider, China Gum, with us at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, China.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
You seem kind of guarded, China.
Guarded?
Why would you be guarded coming on this program?
Yes, Kevin. What are you going to throw at me? Let's do it.
Well, is that any way to greet a friend? Did you see how Idaho Steve was all happy to be with me and all this, and now you're tepid? Why is that, man?
I love that his name is Idaho Steve. It kind of makes me think that I need to come up with some better stage name.
Well, we'll work on that. We've got a lot of names. But anyway,
let's do it.
A crazy story that I saw your comments on Facebook last night about this, and it's involving a kid, a senior at Bora High School, Harmony Soto, a 17-year-old senior. The Bora Senator Editor-in-Chief decided to do something to send a message to incoming State School Superintendent Sherry Ibarra, who had some issues involving plagiarism of her website with Jana Jones's website. She contacted George Prentiss of the Boise Weekly, got his permission to plagiarize his article, published it, and then said, I had permission to be a plagiarist. Take that, Mrs. Ibarra.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I used to write for my high school newspaper, so I remember those days and how much fun it was to come up with ideas. There's no doubt about it. Plagiarism is lying, cheating, and stealing. It's absolutely inexcusable. It is a story that is, you know, we've gotten past already, and Ibarra took responsibility, and I thought we'd moved on. We had an election, the voters decided, but then here we are.
Well, come on, China. We're not talking politics here. We're talking, you're a parent, and thanks for letting us know you wrote for the school paper. And, that's, you know, Ray Amaya is putting that down on his guest cheat sheet here. However, I mean,
it was called the Trojan Times.
You know, China, there's a thing called the tune-out factor. Work with me. So I'm looking at your Facebook comments, and you made up a good point. Hey, I think it would have been better if Miss Soto and her mother, or Miss Soto, had come up with it independent of her mom doing this. So, I mean, why do you think she did this? And again, she's a kid. We understand that, making a point. And do you think it was over the line?
Well, I don't know about that. My comments were more about, you know, hey, interesting idea, you know, that she did this to point out the importance of, you know, not plagiarizing. But then, you know, no, it didn't say anywhere in that she didn't do the hat tip to her mom. It was her mom's idea. So I thought it kind of lost something there. But it was on one of the news channels had covered the story. And it was in their video.
We're covering the news channel right here. We're no potatoes here. Well, maybe we are, but no, I'm looking at, I mean, this tells you that we don't have a lot of news here. It's in the paper, and you have Melinda Nothern, who is a spokesperson for Superintendent Ibarra, saying the accusation was a result of boilerplate language on the contact. Can I finish?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Contact page of Ibarra's contact page website written by her campaign web team, blah, blah, blah. Soto and her mother said the thing that struck out to me during the campaign was when it came out that Sherry Ibarra plagiarized her website. So you have a denial. You have this. You know, our friend Mr. Corbley said he's not bothered by it. I'm thinking about it. I just think it's kind of unusual that we would see this and it would be that big of a deal. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And coming from that world, I know that you buy web templates because they're cheap. You change some wording on it. The candidate says, here's my position. They shoot it over to their webmaster. The webmaster inserts the language, changes a couple more things, and boom, the template's up on the website. Now, I don't know if that's what happened in this case, but I certainly have sympathy for, you know, a situation like that. And yeah, absolutely.
I disagree with you. I think that if you are running for an office, especially in education, you gotta have the grammar police. You gotta have this, especially what happened to Vaughn Ward. You gotta be sensitive to those things. You can't just throw something up. But that's not the issue I want to talk about here. The issue is where the young lady decided to prove a point. Apparently, she and her mom got together to do this. I guess since you're not going to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go, who's the kid to point out this to the state school superintendent? And does the state school superintendent have liability because she allowed this to happen? It's easy to ask you those questions, China, but, I mean, the answers are kind of tough.
Well, look, if it was the kid's idea, I think it's a great idea. That's, you know, good for her to write that in the school newspaper and have that idea and go for it. And I love that part. But then it wasn't her idea. It was her mother's idea. But whatever.
Well, you did say that on Facebook. Hey, it seems to lose some credibility that it was her mother's idea.
Well, yeah, she didn't give the hat tip to her mom, so it cracked me up. You know, I thought it was kind of funny. It was like, it wasn't her idea. It was her mother's idea. She didn't say it was her mom's idea. She passed it off as her own. So I thought that was kind of funny. I just think that there's a bigger issue that I'm still really upset about. Every time somebody picks on Sherry Ibarra, it just takes me back to how nobody covered the race. The media did not cover the race.
Well, there weren't any debates to cover.
Well, but the candidates weren't vetted. They absolutely weren't vetted in the primary. And now we know that the Republicans are going to win the general election no matter what. that goes back to we need to let the voters have an opportunity to vet the candidates in the primary. And now look, Sherry Ibarra won. She's our state superintendent of schools. Do we need to keep picking on her? Do we need, you know, from
who's wait a minute. Who's picking on her? A high school senior? If you can't take the heat from a high school senior, get out of the kitchen.
If it were only the high school senior, I'm sure it would be okay. But it's not. It's her mom. It was her mom's idea. And then
she got a lot of run with it, China. She got a lot of run with it. So,
right.
You know, I think just you and I sitting here having a hot chocolate or a cup of coffee or whatever in the morning over the kitchen table, you know, I'm wondering, is it a valid point or a cheap shot? And maybe we'll just leave it up to the folks. But you tell the truth. I mean, is it a valid point or a cheap shot? I think that's the question.
I think that unless, you know, and from one natural blonde to another, she needs to dye her hair, okay?
What?
Because these
Who?
Cheap shots, these are going to keep happening.
Who needs to dye her hair?
We're going to let it down.
Who needs to dye her hair?
Sherry Ibarra.
I thought you were talking about me.
You need to dye yours, too.
If I had any to dye. China, if people want to get a hold of you for marketing or consulting, what can they do?
Inside Baseball Public Affairs on Facebook.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, and thank you for waking up this morning.
Thank you. Take care.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, men.
Good morning. It is 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
And an interesting Christmas party last night. Certainly a lot of folks would like to know about it. But, you know, the idea of company Christmas parties, we talked a little bit about it after you have experienced another one of ours. Good idea or bad idea?
Oh, I think it's good to get the people together out of the building to... You know, I got a chance to visit with some people I don't really get a chance to see in building. You know, it's big company. You know, no, I think it's all good.
A big company. I mean, really, what is the proper behavior at a Christmas party?
The proper behavior is to behave yourself. You know, you don't want to step out of line and say the wrong things, kind of like you did yesterday. You don't want to do that. You know, you don't want to embarrass people, kind of like you did yesterday. But no, all in all, I think it's good.
Gee, thanks.
I'm just kidding with you. You behaved just fine.
You were a good boy. You can come back next year, allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think it's good. I appreciate that. Company gave us some nice gifts, a nice kind of a sweatshirt fleece from Town Square Media, so that's kind of cool.
You know, a lot of people are saying it's the Kevin Miller uniform.
Why would they say that?
Well, because it's a hoodie. Actually, we had a lot of people say, oh, we've gone Kevin Miller.
Nah, because it's kind of a zip up, and you are more of the New England Patriots pullover hoodie.
Well, now I finally haven't found a zip up that fits.
Yeah, there you go. So that's good. No, they came to me. They came to me here a while back. Manchai, who was in charge of all things internal here in the building, came to me and said, "I need the sizes for your people." I went, "Okay, just get big for all of us. We're good, except Ray. Ray's the fit one in the program."
Yeah, he had to actually call me and say, what size do you wear?
He asked you that because he asked me. He came to me and asked me. He said, what size does Kevin Miller wear? And I said, what? I'm looking at his clothes. What do I know?
You should have guessed.
I did. I told him.
Well, apparently not enough.
No, it's not big enough?
Well, it was, but he called me to make sure he didn't trust your...
That's exactly it. He just didn't trust me. It's an issue of trust.
I see. Speaking of which, five bowl games tomorrow. What are you going with?
Five bowl games tomorrow. I don't know. Potato Bowl's playing. That's the only one I know that's playing tomorrow. I don't know any others playing. I know. Do we have a headphone issue? Is that what we're doing? Yes.
Yes, we do.
You have... Okay, now wait a minute. So you have no headphones?
Actually, I'm hoping you can talk so I can run around and find the ones that are actually working. But remember, you always get on me for saying, Kevin, nobody cares what's going on internally, so be a good boy, and you'll be on the nice list, don't talk about internal things on the air. I'm kind of out of breath because I am.
Okay, well, while the headphones are off, tell Ray I have an adapter in here from the basketball game last night. Out of my video kit from video streaming, I have an adapter in here if somebody has taken all the adapters out of there.
Well, I'm trying to get the one, but now it's wrapped up over on the other side.
And it has an adapter on it? Good. I thought maybe somebody had stolen it, too.
I think they forgot, but yes. Yes.
Yeah, because I think I know who took our adapter out of there, because I saw an employee, a Town Square Media employee, yesterday in the building carrying an adapter around. I thought, an adapter, by the way, is something that goes on the end of the headphone to make it bigger. So I saw somebody carrying it, so I think I know who to bust now.
Well, who to bust and my bell, too.
You know what? I know where your bell's at.
Where?
It is down in the 630 The Fan studio on the opposite side. I was over doing some stuff where we do video blogging from there, and there's a bell in there that's never been in there before. I bet it's your bell.
Now, why in the world would it end up there?
I have no idea, but I saw it there, and I thought, oh, that's got to be Kevin's bell. And I was going to pick it up, and I forgot to grab it.
Well, thankfully, Linda gave me a backup bell, but yes, so...
So you need to check and see if that is your bell in there.
I'm sure it is, and I'm going to ring somebody's bell.
All right. Now you get your headphones all set. Oh, you're good to go again?
I'm such a diva.
All right. I know. You're a handful. I got a question for you, though.
Okay. I'm ready.
Are you ready for this?
I'm in the breakdown position.
I saw on Channel 7 on their news that the teachers are all set to get a big pay boost.
Yes.
Is this something that is from the evil Tom Luna, the Teachers Hate Tom Luna group that got this put together?
Well, it's from the state board.
Well, they approve it.
Right.
But it must be something from the evil Tom Luna. We hate Tom Luna. Get rid of Tom Luna. He hates teachers, Tom Luna. That he's got this put together for teachers for a raise before he goes out the door.
Oh, thank you, Ray. Ray went and got the bell. Yes, it is my bell. Feels good.
There you go. Now we can give the front desk their bell back.
Yes.
You are, like, complete.
Yeah. So would we call that thievery in the building?
If it's in the building, my guess is somebody used it for some reason in there, but I'm trying to figure out why they would be using it in the other room. I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Well, I had somebody from the staff actually say, hey, the teacher's got a raise. When are we getting our raise?
Oh, no, nobody needs to talk about that. Nobody needs to talk about that. But I'm just kind of curious because it was, you know, the evil Luna, but yet
the
this
evil,
raise.
I love that.
The raise.
Evil, hold on,
had
hold on. I have to. That is a really good name, the evil Luna.
Yeah. Well, Tom would appreciate it.
Yeah.
But yet, I mean, it wasn't from the new administration coming in. They haven't proposed anything yet. They're busy getting their ducks all lined up.
They're worried about Harmony Soto.
Yes. So it must be from there, we're the teachers, we hate Luna, get rid of Luna. They're getting a raise, so they may as well say thank you as he goes out the door.
Thank you, evil Luna.
Yeah. I just find it fascinating. So, I mean, good for the teachers. And you know what? Good for the teachers. I'm in favor of that for them.
You're in favor of the teachers?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I was raised in a teacher's household.
Right.
I get what they go through.
Sure.
I get that.
Hey, we didn't talk about this the other day, but how about the North Koreans shutting down the interview?
There's a bunch of stuff going on, Mr. Miller, right now in the world that really needs a careful look at. And that is one that a tin-horn dictator country is able to shut down Sony Pictures.
Well, it's funny because they go, well, we would launch one back, but their systems are so antiquated, they have no answer for it. They really can't shut them down.
Yeah.
They're kind of like on Windows 2000.
Oh, that's what I got in here. That works out pretty good.
I
find that absolutely fascinating. That is something I find fascinating to watch. And I go back to something else that I mentioned last summer, but it's still something to really watch as I've done a little more reading and a little more research on, and that is the Ukraine. Because there's some bad stuff getting ready to happen there. And I'm not quite sure who is all on the right side of what, but there in the Ukraine, there's some bad stuff getting ready to happen again, which could involve a lot of Europe and ultimately the United States.
Here's something that, parlaying what you're talking about, you know, people are saying, thank goodness this wasn't the electrical grid, nuke plants. It shows you how vulnerable we are.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading Business Week because, you know, I'm a businessman.
Sure.
And not only does Jeb Bush have a lot of ties to China, which eventually will come out. On the other hand, we have this issue involving, I think it not it was the Sands. It was one of those big major Vegas casinos. The Iranians got mad at Shelton Alderson, I think. Alderson, you know, the big billionaire there.
Mm-hmm.
And launched a cyber attack and just, I mean, wiped out the machines, wiped out this, wiped out that in one night.
Yeah, I mean, it is frightening how vulnerable we are. And now you think about it, with all that we do with computers, and that doesn't even take into account that if a solar flare hits us, we're really done. But if they were to shut down the power grid, how long do you think you could last at your household if there was no electricity?
Well, I got my Kindle.
Well, that's not going to do you any good.
Well, I mean,
the internet's going to be gone.
You know, I got my dogs to talk to.
Mm-hmm. How's the water supply at your place?
Well, I got that generic water from Fred Meyer, Kroger brand.
Do you got a whole bunch of it?
I got like a 12-pack.
Because once there's a big run at the store and all of the bottled water's gone, oh, wait, they can't sell stuff at the store because the cash registers run off the computer.
Yep.
You can't pump gas. You ready to ride a bike in from out in Star or Notice or...
Well, here's the problem.
Wherever you live.
We couldn't do the show unless they ran the generator, I guess. And does the solar flare knock out the generator?
Yes.
Well,
I believe it does. So you know, whether it's a solar flare or a cyber attack, we're actually very vulnerable. Very vulnerable as Americans. If they knock the power out, and people might remember back, I happened to be in D.C. when this happened over a 4th of July weekend a number of years back, 10, 12 years ago. The power was out here for a couple of days. And it started stretching things quite a bit here in the Treasure Valley.
I know a lot of people buy the MREs.
Yeah?
Yeah, they have their own MREs and they're ready to go.
Yeah, but, you know, having you know, the water on hand, having that, the more I think about it, the more I think, not necessarily a bad idea. Now, people, you know, kind of laugh about the Sony thing and all the things that happened. That's pretty amazing when you really get right down to it that somebody... The hacker, whether it was North Korea or somebody just with a vengeance against Sony, able to shut it down, that movie pulled from the shelf on the premiere, got rid of it. That's all amazing when you really think about it.
Well, I think they were idiots to mess with this guy. And I love how all these Hollywood tough guys are coming out and saying censorship. When you live in a country where they kill their own people, they starve their own people, it doesn't matter about expression. And these people are living in some type of fairy tale world.
North Korea?
No, the Hollywood people.
The Hollywood people.
Well,
yes.
This is bad. Dude, they were going to blow up movie theaters.
Yeah, that's what they threatened to do.
You know, and people go, oh, well, you know, it's just a stoner movie. And I'm like, this guy killed his own uncle, his father's brother, because he thought the guy was undermining him.
I mean, would you, let's put it this way, if it was a movie you wanted to see, I had no interest in seeing the movie. It seemed like a waste of 90 minutes of my life. Would you go to a theater to see it with that threat on there?
No, number one. And number two, I don't know. Maybe I've gotten smart, at least in some parts of my life. You don't tug on Superman's cape.
You don't spit in the wind.
Right. No, you really.
Mr. Croce.
Right. And apparently now one Dallas theater was going to go, oh, we're going to play Team America Against the World. And they pulled that. They're dopes. I mean, to sit back and all of a sudden mess with someone. Well, they did it with Charlie Chaplin and Hitler. He was poking fun at Hitler. He wasn't talking about killing him. And he has such a repressive rule on those folks. He couldn't allow that to go on. They don't know humor there.
Yeah, you know what? I have to wonder. You know, if they made a movie in another country, in North Korea, about the assassination of a president, I don't think we'd take that lightly, would we? Would we think, oh, that's funny stuff there? I don't think we would.
Right.
Because even if it was made by a filmmaker, and mind you, you know, I don't have any respect for the leader of North Korea, but he is their president. He is their leader. And you've got a movie that's, you know, making parody of killing him. What is Hollywood thinking?
Well, they have nukes, and they're not afraid to use them. Hey, quickly, what do you make of this Cuba thing?
I don't have enough time to go into it. You know, on the surface, what are we getting out of the deal? What are the people of Cuba getting out of the deal? I don't really see. I mean, you and I aren't going to go vacation in Cuba soon. Everybody's going, oh, look, cigars will be cheaper. Really? You know, but really?
Hey, I got one more for you. Now, you're not going to be here next week, right?
No, I am. Well, I'm in town, but I'm off.
I was listening to our friend, Mr. Hannity, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, doing his going away show. He's not back till January 5th.
Yeah.
It was just kind of interesting that what he was going to do and all this stuff. And I'm going, I mean, the network guys, again, they work hard and stuff. But, man, that's a – and all these guys do. It's just a long time.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I think Sean and I over the holidays are going to be getting together.
Since Bogus Basin is opening up, yes.
Exactly.
He's coming out here.
We're going to go to the Potato Bowl tomorrow.
Yes, he's he's doing the coin flip.
Now. Exactly. Now I got to do – no, he's not. I got to do this. I got to give you some traffic now because everything –
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
With this movie withdrawal is a dangerous precedent and a real concern. People in our communities both attend movies and could be threatened, but work in theaters and work in movies and could lose livelihoods.
You imagine this. He knows when you've been naughty. He knows when you've been nice. He's Santa Sharpton. Just a thought. Al Sharpton is mad not only at North Korea, Iran, China, or whoever was behind this, but someone else. We'll tell you about that in a minute. First, let's get you to traffic and weather. Currently 47, but get this. Al Sharpton is angry over the release of the emails from the Sony executives because apparently the Sony executives started mentioning race. That's right. They started mentioning race. They didn't want Denzel Washington to be the equalizer because he's black. I don't know why, but apparently according to these internal emails. Now, I always thought the liberal, progressive, tree-hugging, environmental wackos that populate Hollywood that want us to live by one means and them by another were uber-tolerant. We're not talking about Uber Car Company. Uber, Uber, Uber. Well, now Sharpton has signed a deal with Sony and the National Action Network to have some tolerance, to have some placement. Isn't that nice? All right, Kay Miller with you. Let's find out what's going on with Fox News 580 KIDO. Serving M.